This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, if you drop your cell phone, just pick it up. Simple, right? Well, it should be, but it all comes down to where you drop your phone. Now, we go to Australia, where a woman dropped her phone while out on a hike with friends. She bent down to get it, but she fell face first into a 10-foot deep crevice between two boulders. And she stayed in that position, upside down, for the next 8 hours until rescue teams could get her out. Now, other than some bruises, she was fine. Oddly enough, never did get her cell phone. But it could have been worse. A woman in Spain, she dropped her phone in a dumpster. But in her drunken state, she ended up passing out inside of the dumpster, which was then picked up by a garbage truck, which crushed her to death before dumping her body into the local incinerator. It took authorities about 3 weeks to piece together her final moments. But look, it's hard to predict what might go wrong during an otherwise mundane or routine activity. But all those stories, they go to show that sometimes things do go horribly wrong. In Indonesia, an experienced surfer, she could maybe accept that any ride could be her last, but she probably didn't expect to be speared squarely in the chest by a leaping swordfish. But that is exactly what happened, and she died almost immediately. No word on the fish, by the way. Now, we have an unfortunate number of news stories that involve humdrum and monotonous activities going sideways. Everything from a couple going out for a nice walk in the woods behind their own home, and of course, getting lost in those same woods for 4 days in freezing temperatures. And we also have a worker. He just went to work. He wants to make you delicious tortillas. Yeah, he got his arm stuck in the tortilla machine. We have many, many more stories. And that's basically what today's question is, man. It can be something you're doing on purpose. It can be something completely irrelevant. We just want to know what went wrong and then what happened.
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom at KISW.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Oh, but tell us, away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4203. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Once again, we'll be joined by Taryn Daly, Steve Biggs from the Daily Mix Morning Show, to sit and spin. You probably never thought about the music or even the elements the music would be played at your funeral.
I have not.
What songs would be played? Today, we have the top 10 requested end-of-life songs. Now,
okay.
I'm not sure if the people who passed away, did they request these songs before they passed on? Or did family members say, you know what, they liked, I don't know, Bette Midler or whatever, so we're going to play one of her tunes.
I'd say right now, even if you like Bette Midler, I'm not playing it.
I dislike Bette Midler's music. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm sure she's a fine bird. Musically, I'm not doing. I feel like the last couple of funerals I've been to, both were for church going folk. So the songs they picked were nothing popular. You know what I mean? It was like some kind of weird hymn. And even though I don't really know the words or what it's about, like, it just made things worse.
Sometimes you just need to laugh a little bit and just enjoy and celebrate life. Like, there was a guy, it's probably about 5 years ago, but there was a guy that passed on, I believe, in Ireland. And he had quite the sense of humor throughout life.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his buddy somehow teamed up where he had a pre-recorded message of some
type. Oh, I remember this guy, yeah.
And they put it in his coffin. And I don't know if they remote started it or what the deal was, but only he and his buddy were in on it. And so as the casket is being lowered in the ground, you go, here, help! Help! I'm in this box! And this goes on for about a minute. And everybody just, they understood what was going on.
Sure.
They just started laughing. They knew the guy. But, you know, that to me is how you kind of lighten the mood in those situations.
Yeah, for sure.
That's one of the funnier things to do. On this tip, I believe some of the songs are more appropriate for a
celebratory of that person's life, I guess.
Whatever. But they are the top 10 requested end-of-life songs. We will do that coming up for you at 4:30 this afternoon.
You want to piss people off at your funeral? This song, nobody likes the song, the Cars for Kids jingle.
Yeah.
Just play that. People will be glad you're... Even my kid hates it. And he's a kid.
So a little funeral coming up at 4:30 with Sit and Spin. What else do we have for you today? A little programming note. If you did not hear our announcement yesterday, Men's Room Ola Days Holiday Porter is being launched. We're going to have a little party Saturday, November 2nd from 4 until 8 at the Black Raven Brewing Facility in Woodinville. It is a limited edition holiday beer, only going to be available for the holidays and only on draft. Now, here's the good thing. 7.5% on the alcohol. So this is a good holiday beer. Notes of Grandma's Rum Balls, chocolate, vanilla, orange peel, and holiday spices. And of course, a portion of net proceeds benefit our local Fisher houses, helping veterans and service members in need. So, from what we understand is, it's going to be out in a limited number of locations. When we get those locations, we will pass those along to you on Friday.
Right.
As soon as that beer starts to be shipped out, we will let you know where it is. And then if not, man, join us Saturday, November 2nd from 4 till 8 up at Black Raven. We'll have a good time. I absolutely know this porter is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You just sense it. We have not tried it. It's just like this feeling we have. Like, this is going to be
chocolate,
really good.
Chocolate, vanilla, orange peel, holiday spices, and rum ball flavors. That's what you get in this porter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Looking forward to the party. Yeah. I mean, look, I'll have a porter here or there. That just sounds absolutely delicious as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can join us up at the Black Raven Brewing Facility for that. And today on the question, what went wrong and then what happened? Came into work today and started talking to VD. Steve, you came in, and it was just one of those days where you start looking over the stories in the news and you think, my God, man, this is insane, the number of crazy things that are being reported today, as just far as oddities in the news, stories that you just almost can't believe happen to people.
Right, there's the regular stuff you see in news, right? Stupid politics, people getting shot, violence, people angry. You always expect that. That's all there. But then everything today was peppered with, like, wait, what happened to this person?
Okay.
Like, what were they doing that this thing happened?
Now, look, all these stories do not have happy endings, by the way. This is not, these stories, a lot of them end tragically. Like, keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just situationally what happened to these people. So, we'll start with this one. A woman was trapped, hanging upside down by her feet, wedged in a narrow chute between two boulders for 7 hours before she could be rescued in Australia. Matilda Campbell, who is 23.
She's 23 years old, named Matilda.
The only 23-year-old woman in the world named Matilda.
Named Matilda.
That's correct.
Remember, old names are back.
I know, man.
Matilda?
Like, I know.
The hun,
but, like, Matilda.
She was a famous, like, little girl witch, too, right?
Okay, thank you, because the first thing I thought Matilda was a witch.
Not Matilda.
Did you say Matilda the Hun?
Yeah, I was just thinking.
Is that his wife?
That's not right.
Come on, man.
Exactly. Attila.
Yeah, the only Matilda I could think of is a witch. I don't know why I know that name, but yeah. That
isn't Matilda like a... Right? Wasn't that a movie?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is she a witch or she lives with witches? I know it's about a little kid.
She had like telepathic powers.
Okay, so basically she's...
Half witch.
Yeah, Danny DeVito.
Okay.
good.
Well, she basically she dropped her phone in a crevice while walking with friends on some property in Laguna. That's in New South Wales, about 75 miles away from Sydney. So she bends down to retrieve her phone, but then she fell face first into a 10-foot deep crevice between two boulders, leaving only the bottoms of her feet visible to those above. Unable to reach the woman or find cell service, her companions went in search for help. It ended up being a multi-agency response. We were all like, how did she get down there? How are we going to get her out? So the ambulance specialty rescue paramedics came in. They were among the first on the scene. Campbell had slipped face first through a 4-inch gap in the boulders, slid 10 feet down a chute, got stuck. They determined the only way to get her out is to come out vertically, which meant moving 7 large boulders, some weighing more than 1,000 pounds. The process, helped by a winch, took 7 hours. They were concerned that any time they moved a rock, if it fell in the wrong direction, it's going to either fall on top of her, or if a boulder rolls, it's going to crush her.
I mean, look, I'm not an expert on this by any stretch, but it just seems to. I saw a picture of her upside down. Well, basically, I saw a picture of the soles of her feet. She was literally just vertically upside down. My first thought, instead of trying to move 1,000-pound boulders, would be, can we, like, tie ropes around her feet and just try to yank her ass out?
That's what she would think, right?
Well, once they moved the boulder, rescuers had to manipulate her body to get her out of the chute. It was kind of in an S shape. They said it was an out-of-the-box rescue, that's for sure. She eventually emerged quite dizzy, and it took her many minutes to walk as all the blood had drained out of her legs, and she had a bit of a headache. But she suffered only scratches and bruises from the initial fall. You guys are literally lifesavers, she wrote to the rescuers on social media. Too bad about that phone, though. It remains somewhere in that rock.
Yeah.
So she didn't get her phone back, but either way,
well, yeah.
she was safe.
I just think it's ironic that she dropped her phone and went to retrieve it, but her friends couldn't call for help because they didn't have cell service.
Yes.
And by the way, they keep saying she was there for 7 hours. She was there for 8 hours. She was there for 7 hours after they got there to get her out, but it took her friends an hour to find someone to
hanging
help her
upside
out.
Down.
Yeah.
All right. Then we bring you the story. This one does not end very well, but just the manner of what happened to this woman is shocking to say the least. Gia Manfrini was among the many surfers from around the world drawn to the epic waves off Indonesia's islands.
Epic.
What's that?
Epic.
Yeah, when you talk about surfing, it's epic. Unfortunately for the 36-year-old Italian, there weren't only humans exploring the waves off the coast last week. Unexpectedly, a swordfish jumped toward the surfer and struck her squarely in the chest. It's almost kind of like the same thing that happened with Steve Irwin.
Right.
But that was a manta ray or whatever. So unexpectedly, it jumps and hits her squarely in the chest. The gash was about 2 inches. Now, she is a very well-known surfer, social media-wise, and she's also a pro surfer. She was impaled by the swordfish, or possibly a needlefish. She was able to signal to witnesses, and then they came and gave her first aid. But she died almost immediately, according to the resort where she'd been staying. Unfortunately, even with the brave efforts of her partner, she could not be saved. The couple actually founded a London-based travel company, Awave, which organizes trips to popular surfing destinations. Obviously, this was a freak accident. But according to a fishing expert, swordfish attacks are rare, especially during the daytime. However, the fish are still extremely dangerous and can cause injuries that are very likely to be fatal to humans. The snout is, in fact, a real sword. If it stabs, it goes deep, and it could even slice through, leaving a large wound. Also, it carries bacteria, which can trigger an infection. Medical reports, she may have drowned after suffering a 2-inch deep stab wound. We believe she died doing what she loved in a place that she loved. Obviously, her friends and family are shocked by her passing. It makes us feel powerless in the face of tragedy that took her life so prematurely.
Are you saying that they think this thing attacked her, or that it's just jumping out of the water?
I think it's just jumping out of the water and happened to hit
her. Right?
Yeah. A lot of animals like to ride the waves. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. You'll see them jump out of it. Like, I don't think it was attacking her. And actually, it doesn't matter whether it was or not. It'll end up.
Do they use that thing as a weapon?
I believe so.
I mean, look. You know, you got an orca coming after you. I mean, we know how fast a sailfish.
Yeah.
Can travel.
I would assume.
I mean, you see it happen with even just marlin, like any sailfish.
Sure.
Right? Like, you're getting them in the boat. Like, you gotta be careful.
Bad things can happen.
What are the little ones? Like, did you ever go, like in, if you were down at the beach or whatever back in Maryland, and you could get on the canal side and, like, throw out that net and kind of cinch it up? Like, we would do it at night, but there was always, it looked like a swordfish, but it was, like, tinier.
Like a tiny one?
Yeah, only, like, that long. But it had, same thing. You had to be careful. So if that thing stabbed you in the calf or whatever, it would hurt.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't recall seeing those, but I just try not to mess with fish in general.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're up to, man.
Now we head to San Diego, where a man was taken to the hospital after he got part of his arm stuck in a tortilla machine.
Oh, no.
The San Diego Fire Rescue
Department. Why does everyone smile when we say the story? I mean, well, it's a machine. This is dangerous stuff. But somehow, tortilla machine, everyone gets this big grin.
Well, tortilla machine sounds fun and delicious.
Yeah.
The incident happened about 10 a.m. in the morning. According to the department's incident webpage, showed the exact address of the incident belonging to Sawaya Brothers Market. So the man had gotten his arm stuck specifically in the part of the tortilla machine that grinds up the masa, or the corn dough, which means they're making really good tortillas.
Yeah, that was my fault.
Yes. They said the patient's arm was in the machine up to his shoulder. So crews arrived and monitored him while they waited for other resources to help extricate him. At least 33 personnel responded to the incident of the guy's arm stuck in a tortilla machine, along with crews from National City. After further evaluation, crews were able to disassemble the tortilla machine and were able to free most of the man around 11 a.m. There was still a portion of the machinery that had the patient's arm, and they could fit it in the ambulance. So then the patient was transported to UC San Diego's Hillcrest location, and officials said no one else was hurt in the incident. They got most of the machine off of his arm.
Right, right.
But the part that was still on his arm, that ended up going to the hospital as well, with his arm inside.
Well, the irony of that is, you know, when they got there, the doctors called the same people that they would have called had they kept the man. Well, the fire department, the manufacturer of the machine. Because, you know, the doctors looked at it and said, look, man, it's a tortilla machine. We have absolutely no idea what we're supposed to do.
So our question, what went wrong and then what happened? 206-803-ROCK.
By the way, just real quick from the text line, Matilda, also a 1978 movie about a boxing kangaroo.
Hmm. Ooh, now that one I'd like to see.
I'm much more interested than the Danny DeVito flick. Hello, Colby. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hola.
Yeah, so, no, it just reminded me of this story. It happened about 15 years ago. So, I'm from Vermont myself. I don't know what it's up with the kind of people over in Vermont getting DUIs in Canada, but I had a friend. We were ice fishing on, there's a lake between Canada and Vermont. It's Lake Nymphomagog. We were ice fishing one night there, and yeah, we were drinking all day and stuff, and we didn't realize how far into the lake we went. And so apparently we triggered them lasers that are on the border there. And my buddy, he was driving a snowmobile at the time. Yeah, we ended up getting pulled over right on the lake and cuffed and stuffed. Yeah, he got a DUI on a snowmobile right on the lake on Canada side in Vermont.
What is the distance of the lake? Where does the border? How many miles out in the lake you have to go before you cross an international border?
I'd say roughly like maybe five. I mean, it's not that big of a lake. It's really not.
Did you guys catch any fish?
During the day, yeah, we did. I ended up having to go over the customs and stuff. He got arrested because he got DUI. I had my license and stuff, so I ended up getting to keep the fish, you know, and
that's the important part.
Yeah, hey, okay. All right, we got all right.
My buddy got locked up,
but your buddy is now in jail in Canada.
Yeah,
which means in Canada is he not a felon at that point?
Yeah.
All right. And so, how long, considering the charge, was he incarcerated in Canada?
I want to say, he was there, because it was on the weekend, so he was there at least the whole week. I mean, it was 15 years ago. It's kind of hard to remember exactly how long he was there. But yeah, he was there at least to just see the judge, and, you know, he got the DUI, and one of his other requirements is definitely not allowed back in Canada.
Was he riding a snowmobile when they pulled him over?
Yeah. Okay. We both were on it. We were going to just find a new spot to throw down new flags.
And you, honest to God, had no idea you were in Canada at that point.
No.
Is this something that happens to people in Vermont?
I don't know. That's what I said.
Well,
it's happened. Yeah.
Okay. My question is, were these officers on snowmobiles, I'm assuming, as well?
Wait, can you say that again?
I said, were they on snowmobiles as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, that's their border patrol.
Right.
You know, if it's frozen over, they can use snowmobiles. Yeah. If not, they've got boats. I'm sure they do the same thing. It's the same waterway, right?
Yeah.
Damn.
So.
I mean, look, all things being equal, right? Because the one thing anyone would
say. Is that a buoy or is that a DUI?
DUI.
Is that, you're on.
But he's on a machine.
Because now it's solid. Right.
Well,
you're on a machine
and it's
solid.
If you're boating, all right.
Because it's liquid. When it's ice, now you're driving.
It's a different charge.
Because you're not driving a boat. You're driving a vehicle on a solid surface, right? My thing is, look, if you... Anyone will tell you never want to get locked up, period. And then people will always add, you never want to get locked up in a foreign country's prison. But if I had to pick any foreign country to get locked up over the weekend, Canada is number one by a mile. Right? If they said, you're going to get arrested in a foreign country and you got to spend time in their jail... Give me Canada. I cannot think of another place I'd rather be locked up than Canada. I might even rather get locked up.
Sweden? What do you think the advantage?
Do they even have jails
in
Sweden?
What do you think the advantage is of a Canadian prison?
It cannot be as bad as a U.S. prison, and I certainly know it's going to be better than anything south of our border.
Okay.
Now, Ted, you might be onto something. Sweden, Norway, where I feel like, in a Swedish prison, and who knows, maybe it's rough and tumble, but I feel like they lock you up, and then someone stern just looks at you and shakes their head disappointed. You should have known better.
Well, the guy that did not know that he was in, and Mike's got this coming up at headlines at 5:50, but the guy did not know that he had driven into Canada.
Again, this is a Vermont thing.
He got stuck in a drive-thru. I think his car died.
All right.
But all four of his tires were flat. So apparently what he did was he crashed through a Border Patrol barrier in the middle of the night, kept on driving, and then ended up in a Tim Hortons drive-thru. And his car died. And then they came up to him, and he thought he was still in Vermont. So I don't know how he got... I don't know if was he on a cert. I don't know if he... just blew through the border.
Do they not post signs in Vermont to get into Canada?
You would have
to. I mean, it's crazy to me.
But either way, when the officer came up, he didn't know.
Somewhere along the way, maybe there's just roads that most people wouldn't find.
Some back road or something? Yeah,
I guess.
Our question, what went wrong and then what happened? 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Utah Mom is warning people of the danger at pumpkin patches. What do you guys think is the biggest danger at a pumpkin patch?
Horse poop.
You'll never get this one.
I read the story. I'm not going to say what it is, but I have photographic evidence that my son also engaged in what this kid did just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard of this before.
I did not know what this
danger
was.
Danger at a pumpkin patch.
I never thought about it. My wife showed me pictures. I hate pumpkin patches, but she took the kids there.
Like throwing pumpkin guts on people?
No, and there's one little area. It's usually for younger kids, but my son and his friends, they had fun in this area, and my wife was more commenting that it's so gross and dirty. But neither of us considered...
I mean, the pumpkin patch itself is dirty, right?
Yeah, you're standing in mud. That's a good point.
Petting zoo, maybe?
No, nothing like that.
Here's what happened. A Utah mom said her young son had to get emergency surgery.
Oh, God.
After choking on corn at a pumpkin patch.
What?
You go to a place like this and you expect it to be safe, she said. Her young son, Luke, was playing inside of a corn pit. At the fall festival. Have you guys ever been to a pumpkin
patch?
Think of a ball pit, but fill it
with dried corn kernels.
I have been to a bunch of them. I've never seen a corn pit.
All right.
Yeah, it's just like a ball pit. It is full of dried corn. And that's the thing that my wife showed me the pictures of like my kid and his buddies doing like snow angels in it.
That's a nightmare scenario for some. Like, granted, it's not massively deep, but still, like,
a silo
my
full
kid
of grain
is
or 12. Corn.
That's the My kid is 12, so he's less likely to do what this kid did.
I mean, there's been plenty of stories about people falling in silos. That sounds like absolute hell to me as well. But this happened at the Fall Festival Green Acres. Nichelle, the mom, asked her name not to be shared to protect the privacy of her son.
Even though they posted a picture of the kid's face in the article.
Great. As her son was playing in the large sandbox-style attraction filled with corn, he fell down, and when he rolled over, she says his mouth was filled with kernels. Now, before he could sit up, he started choking. He seemed to do better, despite a persistent cough, over the next few days. But they did not realize that he had aspirated a kernel, getting it sucked into one of his lungs. So days later, on Sunday, Nichelle said her son started choking. He turned blue, and he passed out. She desperately called 911 while attempting to help the child. By the time the first responders arrived, she said Luke was able to breathe again. Now, at the hospital, she said they discovered that he had a collapsed lung due to a corn kernel and said he went into emergency surgery to remove it. He's now doing fine. He's back at home. But Nichelle fears what could have happened if they did not get there that quickly.
By the way, my wife just texted in regard to that story. She says, I hate that thing. I keep finding it in the laundry. All right. So
what, corn kernels?
Corn kernels. Right. So she did point, I forgot, she pointed that out.
What are they, like foxtails? Jesus.
I mean, well, she was bitching about it, going like, you know, they're having fun doing the thing, boys will be boys. But she said when they got out of there, both of them, like there was just corn, their entire pockets are full of corn, jacket pockets are full of corn, hair full of corn, right? So for her, it was just a messy thing, but I don't think either of us considered he could have choked and died. But yeah, I never would have thought about that until I saw the picture.
Is that essentially what you could you pop that corn? It's dried.
It's
in kernel form. Is that good? You cannot pop that corn.
I don't
You would know
so.
This.
Yeah. There's certain corn that is for popping for popcorn.
And it's not regular corn. It's a different variety.
So how does that work? Because when the settlers discovered what popcorn was, the natives showed them, right? So
is that true?
I believe that is the case, is that natives had done it, so they knew the popcorn existed, settlers get it, and obviously it spreads worldwide. I believe that is the story, but did they have specific corn that they grew then for popping? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
What went wrong, and then what happened? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dawn. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
So when I was 16, I accidentally stole a car.
What do you mean you accidentally stole a car?
So I was living in Malaysia, and I lived there from 14 to 18, and I was one that had, like, daddy issues. So I was always having man friends instead of boyfriends, and so I got in the car with him, and we went to a local discotheque, and we valeted the car, and then when we came out, the valet gave us the keys. Well, I noticed immediately it wasn't the same car. And Nigel, he was the one that was driving, he's like, oh, you're just pissed. And I'm like, no, I know I'm drunk, but we're not in the right car. And so he ended up taking the car home after he dropped me off. And the next morning he calls and he says, the cops are looking for us.
So similar or were they entirely different vehicles?
Oh, no, they were totally similar. It's just the interior was different. I noticed it didn't have the wood.
Okay, I got you.
And it had belonged to a Swedish couple that was staying in the hotel, and they had rented it. And so when they went to get their car wasn't there, and so they reported it as stolen. And so I could have been a Michael Fay. I could have been being caned.
Well, Malaysia, I don't know the rules, but I, you know.
But that's one of those caning places.
Yeah.
So how do you resolve this? I mean, do you just explain to them what you explained to us?
Well, that's what he did. He explained to them. And, you know, there was no charges or anything. But for half the day, they were looking for us.
You would think that the owner, being him, of the car, could identify the subtle... Even if I got into an exact same replica of my car, there's going to be differences based on what I have in my car.
Absolutely.
So this is where I say he was really drunk.
I
know that's really bad to get in a car with a drunk driver, but we were all drunk.
So why were you in Malaysia for 4 years at that age?
My dad was a rep for Boeing.
Okay.
So I was there, and I was stuck there because he held my passport and I couldn't come home.
Was your mom here stateside?
No, my mom passed away when I was 10.
So where were you? I understand then why maybe he held your passport. What was your plan if you got out of Malaysia?
To come back home to the States.
And then figure it out from there?
Oh, yeah, figure it out from there.
That is the 18-year-old mind,
for sure. Did you have family that potentially you could have stayed with? Was there an uncle, an aunt, a cousin? Was there anybody that you could...
No, I had a foster parent that I could have stayed with.
So,
but no.
All right, okay. Well, how did you finally get back?
How did I finally get back to
the United States? Was it because your dad got moved back? Is that why you came back?
No, when I turned 18, my dad gave me my passport and $1,000, I think is what it was, and told me to have a nice life. So I had no idea what I was doing until I came back to the States, and I get off the plane, and there's my dad. And so he went, and he enrolled me in college, and then left me.
What?
Do you have a relationship with your dad now?
Sadly, I do, because he's dying at the moment, and I'm the only one that will, because I do everything for everybody, and so I have to be there for my father.
Well, sure. Has he ever apologized or tried to explain his position?
Oh, my God,
and why
no.
He... All right. Okay. Well, he...
But you know what? Now that he's dying, he's, like, lost his mind. And so I tell him I love him just so he has to say it back. Because he never told me he loved me when he was sane.
All right. When he was sane.
Okay. Okay. Just to make him say it back. So is there anything about Malaysia that you miss?
Oh, God, I'd love to go back as an adult and, you know, make different choices, make some mistakes, different mistakes. But it was beautiful.
And what do you do to pass the time there? I assume you went to, what, like an expat school, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I went to an international school. I just went out and partied a lot because I had daddy issues.
Well, okay, when you came back, you said your dad enrolled you in school. Did you go to college?
Mm-hmm. I did.
And
until I dropped out at 18 and got married.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, so you're considering, are you like still married to the same person?
I am.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't mean to sound shocked, but legitimately, I am that shocked.
Because, look, even if it was my own kid, I'm like, this is, you're 18 years old, you're just becoming an adult, you're just starting your life. My money says, based on my relationships, this is never going to work.
Of course.
Everyone, everyone thought that. So the fact that you overcame that, because that's just, for whatever reason, people have their own belief system as far as what the road for success is on marriage.
Well, and, I think a lot of
none of them are, none of them are right.
But a lot of it's just remembering being 18. I cannot think of one good decision I made at the age of 18, except honestly, except one where I said, you know what, I'm tired, I'm not going to go to that party, and I'm glad I did not go to this particular party because the mess went down. But like, that's a retrospect good decision. Like, I wanted to go.
Yeah,
I was just tired.
Yeah, so, outside of like getting a job.
Yeah, right. And that's because your parents kind of put
married.
It on.
We weren't going to get married, but his parents wouldn't support us in any way living in sin. So we decided in the JCPenney parking lot, we'll get married and get presents.
Is everything in your life that romantic?
Yeah.
The JCPenney parking lot.
Everything's absolutely that romantic.
Did he wear a Hunt Club tuxedo? Or did you wear a dress from who was the famous person that went in there and started selling their clothes in JCPenney for a while? Was it like the Jacqueline Smith collection? Or,
Yeah.
Somebody. They had their own Martha Stewart at the time or whatever the hell it was. Okay.
By the way, before we let you go, how long have you been married?
33 years.
33?
Yes.
Again, I don't mean to sound so shocked, but I just am. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, man. Good for you.
Yeah, seriously. That's impressive. I do have a couple friends that are still married from high school, which blows my mind.
Is that a small town thing, though?
High school sweethearts, probably married at 20, 21.
But I feel like you only hear that out of a small town. Like, if they're still married.
Yeah. Right?
And it's like, well, you know, we're in some small place in Ohio. But it's never like, we met in the Bronx, got married. Like, for whatever reason, it just seems like big city young marriages don't last.
And like everything else. And nothing's perfect. I'm sure they've gone through their ups and downs. But the fact of the matter
That's what marriage is.
They've stuck it out, and they're still married, and they have, you know, families and now grandchildren and all that crap.
That's the thing, right? So my parents have been together for 60 years as of this year, right? And like, man, that's amazing. And obviously they get along quite well now. My mother's like, look, man, I mean, there were times we're ready to kill each other. You wanted to divorce each other. There are times we wanted to kill both you and your brother, like tie a cinder block to your ankles and toss your ass in the river. Like, everything. It's life, you know, but somehow you stick it out. But my mother always says it's more your dad, you know, because she's real rash and would do stuff. And he was always like, look, woman, I said I was going to marry you. We didn't say it's going to be perfect. We said things are going to suck sometimes, right? Because you say that. He's like, I knew that they meant it. He's like, so I don't know where your head was. You know what I mean? But, like, they said that, for better or worse. That's get through it. And then on the other side, you're like, Mike. And now they couldn't live without each other. 60 freaking years later.
What went wrong, and then what happened? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Aiden. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man.
Yeah, thanks, Ed.
Good, good.
So, Aiden, what crazy thing happened to you?
So, there was this one time when I was either 17 or 18. It was around the time I graduated from high school. But my buddy that I moved in with, he said he made an order through FedEx, and for some reason or not, they delivered it to downtown Puyallup, and we lived halfway up the hill. So they asked me for a ride because both his cars weren't running. So I started giving him a ride to downtown, and instead of taking Meridian, I took one of the roads that goes behind the hospital.
Okay.
And as you pass the hospital, there is one stop sign right after you get past the emergency room that I wasn't even thinking about, and it was pouring rain that day. And my first car was a 95 coupe Subaru that, from what I know, the rear driver tire was hit and it was towed inward towards the car itself. And my brother, before I got it, he crashed it on the front passenger side. So I looked up and saw the stop sign, and I knew if I slammed the brakes, I wasn't going to stop. I was going to slide across the lanes, And at the same time as I looked up, I saw a police officer sitting on the opposite side of the stop sign from me. And the second I saw the cop, I already knew I was getting pulled over. So I just went through it. And then I started to slow down. Obviously, the cop whipped around and he pulled me over for blowing a stop sign. But I already knew before that we left the house, I bought a half ounce of weed. And right. I had it in my glove box. And that's exactly where my insurance and all my information was. So
why would you put it there knowing, look, for any reason the cop pulls you over, you know, no matter what it is, they're going to ask you to grab that stuff, man. Just don't put it there.
Yeah, I know. I literally, the second I started to pull over and the second I realized that's where it was, I was like, what an idiot. But luckily, as you get past that stop sign, there's a turn, and the cop didn't catch up with us yet, so I was able to drop the glove box, pull the bag out, and I pulled the bag out, threw it under the passenger seat, and I looked at my friend's girlfriend, because she was in my passenger seat, and I went, don't say a damn word about it. And she just went, I won't. And instead of the cop pulling up on my side, he walked up on the passenger side, obviously asked me for all my info. But luckily enough, I didn't get a ticket or anything. He let me off with a warning. But, like, the fact that I threw it under the passenger seat. Oh, and I forget the best part. When I grabbed it, I threw my registration under the seat as well. So then I had to sit there searching for the registration underneath the passenger seat. While I was also touching the bag of weed, like, nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it.
Now, the cop asked, like, son, why do you keep your registration under the passenger seat?
Yeah.
Most people just keep it in the glove box with their weed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the funny thing, he never even asked me. For the longest time, I was building that car, and I was upgrading it and stuff. So he kind of asked. But that's where I just looked at him and went, officer, I've been working on this car for the longest time, so all my information has kind of been everywhere in this car.
Well, it worked.
All right.
You got lucky.
You did.
I got really lucky.
I'm glad that worked out for you, man. Just like a word to the wise. If you have anything illegal in a car, don't put it there. Mm-hmm.
I just cleaned out my glove compartment for the first time in 8 years. And I'm typically a pretty neat person.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I realized the last time I got pulled over, I had like 7-8 insurance cards in there. All of them were expired.
I'm just
going through them all like, officer, I swear to God it's in here.
Just give me a second.
I know it's in here. I'm just looking at dates. Like, that's not it. That's not it. So, but I threw it all back in. And then I'm like, I just need to have registration in case I get pulled over and my stuff ready to go. So it's not this big to-do of me digging through crap. So basically, I went in there and cleaned the whole damn thing out. Now I'm like, it's got like 6 things in it.
I was disappointed this morning, actually, because my nose was running. And typically, I am known to grab any free napkin from any fast food establishment and throw it in the glove box.
Mm-hmm.
Not in there. Driver's manual, registration, all this stuff. It's very organized. There's not a lot in there. But I'm like, we don't have napkins. My wife said, well, we don't go to fast food much. I'm like, honest to God, we just need to stop by a fast food place. Let's just get a cheeseburger. Let's go inside to get it. And I'm going to snag as many napkins as I can. That's how I operate.
Nice. What went wrong and then what happened? 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.